Okay, sorry, just a thumbs up I need. I missed, we're good for sound? Thanks. Okay, so this evening, we continue our discussions in the Haggadah, after a very unwanted Leil Shimurim on Motzei Shabbos, where we were awake waiting for things that we didn't want, to Mitz Hashem, and in a week's time we'll be awake awaiting something that we do want. Bishah Tova. And I wanted to open our discussion this evening with one of the central mitzvahs of the evening, and that is, of course, the mitzvah of matzah. Matzah is one of the only two mitzvahs on Seder night that are currently D'oraisa, on a Torah level. Of course, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there's many more accompanying the Korban Pesach. But in our times currently, there are only the two mitzvahs. They are the story itself, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the mitzvah of matzah. Now, it is true that matzah also, seemingly, is linked to the Korban Pesach. There is a pasuk that we are familiar with, Amatzo sumarorim yochaluhu, that the Korban Pesach is to be eaten with matzah and maror. Sounds like the matzah and maror are accessories to the Korban Pesach. That's the pasuk that we cite, or that we quote, when we have korech, Amatzo sumarorim yochaluhu, zecher lemigdash kehillel. Actually, that pasuk is not said about the Korban Pesach, it's said about Pesach Sheni. There's a whole discussion as to why we use the Pesach Sheni Pasuk. But either way, the Korban Pesach itself says, Matzos al Marorim Yocheluhu, effectively the same. Which means that matzah and maror, seemingly, are accessories or accompaniments to the Korban Pesach. In the absence of the Korban Pesach, there should be no mitzvah of matzah or maror. And indeed, that is the case for maror. Maror in our time is drabanan, as a zecher for Mikdash. There's no independent mitzvah to eat maror, only as accompaniment to the Korban Pesach. So we eat maror nowadays, that's drabanan, as a zecher for the maror that accompanied the Korban Pesach. But why is matzah different? As the Gemara says, because the Torah has a separate pasuk that specifically brings matzah back as an independent mitzvah, regardless of the Korban Pesach, and that is the pasuk where it says, Ba'erev tochlu matzos. In the evening, and the references to the evening of Seder night, there is a mitzvah of matzah, and that is an independent mitzvah, and it is d'oraisa in all times. The only time where this mitzvah applies in full force of eating matzah, even in an independent mitzvah, is on Seder night. As much as we refer to Pesach as Chag HaMatzos, the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos, but the absolute obligation to eat matzah, per se, is only on Seder night. The rest of Pesach, the Gemara says, is reshus, optional. Now, that can mean many things. Certainly, chametz isn't an option, and therefore matzah is your default option. There is a question whether you fulfill a mitzvah at all, eating a matzah on the other days of Pesach. The Gemara calls it reshus. Maybe it's not relative to the absolute obligation of Seder night. It's considered reshus. One thing is for sure, the only time we ever make the bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvoso v'tzivanu al achilas matzah is on Seder night. Not the next day, not even the following morning, and certainly not the rest of Pesach, as much as we call Pesach Chag HaMatzos. So it really is a unique time where this is the mitzvah of the day. And it's rare, in fact, in our time as well, to have a mitzvah to eat anything. The only other possible candidate would be Erev Yom Kippur. There are opinions that it's a mitzvah on a Torah level to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, but to eat something specific in our time, where we don't have korbanos, so we don't have truma, and so on and so forth, it is the only mitzvah where there's a mitzvah to eat something specific on Seder night. The question is, how much does a person need to eat in order to fulfill their obligation? Well, we know the answer is a kezias. That's the easy part. Of course, what is a kazayis is another question, how exactly to measure it and to configure it, and that is not something that we're going to get into just right at this moment. Every person will ask their rav or their posek or whoever what a kazayis is. But what's interesting is the Maharal, and this Maharal is cited by the Bach. That's only happens every once in a while, where a ruling of the Maharal is cited by one of the classic commentaries on the Torah or the Shulchan Aruch. But the Maharal says, you should know, when we say that the amount through which to fulfill the mitzvah is a kazayis, that is the amount less than which a person did not fulfill his obligation. It is the absolute minimum. However, if a person would eat more than that, anything above a kazayis that a person eats on Seder night is also to be considered part of the Torah mitzvah of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. In other words, we talk about the kazayis is the bare minimum. But if you would have another kazayis or maybe more matzah or whatever, it's all under the rubric of the Torah mitzvah Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. And the Maharal concludes and said, and thus wrote the Rambam. Now everyone, of course, wants to know where. Where did the Rambam write this? Because he doesn't say that explicitly, that the more matzah a person eats, the more they fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. But as the Mefarshim point out, what is likely the intent of the Maharal when he says that this idea is actually to be found in the words of the Rambam also, that the relevant halacha will be in Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah, Perik Vav, Halacha Aleph. And there the Rambam says, we'll miss out the middle, but we'll get to the point where what the Maharal intended. Mitzvah sasei min haTorah, le'echol matzo b'leil chamisha osar. There is a positive mitzvah, a Torah level mitzvah, to eat matzah on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Shine'emar ba'erev tochlu matzos. That's the pasuk that we quoted before, which sets it up as an independent mitzvah, regardless of whether there is a korban pesach or not. Bekol makom, uvekol zman. All places in all times. And then the Rambam concludes, u'mishachal kezayis yotze yidei chovoso. And when a person has eaten a kazayis, he's fulfilled his obligation. So this is very interesting. If we try and be precise with the phraseology of the Rambam, the Rambam begins by saying there is a mitzvah to eat matzah on the night of the 15th. And then concludes by saying that once a person has eaten a kazayis, he's fulfilled his obligation. Surely, there is a more direct way to say all of that. Namely, either there is a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of matzah on the 15th, or there is a mitzvah to eat matzah, and how much does a person need to eat? A kazayis. The Rambam didn't say either of those things. The Rambam said there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, a person has fulfilled his obligation from the point that he's eaten a kazayis. And seemingly the Maharal understands that the Rambam's intent is that's when you fulfilled your obligation, but the mitzvah is matzah. However much matzah a person will eat on Seder night is all part of the mitzvah. And there could be halachic implications for this idea, as is pointed out by the Netziv. The Netziv in his commentary to the She'iltas of Rav Achai, because we know that the matzah that you use for the mitzvah on Seder night needs to have a special designation. It's called shmura. It needs to be watched and guarded with the intent that it be used for a mitzvah. That's called Shmura Matzah. Shmura Matzah is not a hidur, it's not an embellishment, it's an absolute requirement for the matzah. Ushmartem es haMatzos, directly from the Torah, specifically for the matzah that one will use on Seder night. And the She'iltas of Rav Achai, which is one of the earliest halachic works that we have after the Gemara. It's from the time of the Gaon in Rav Achai. And She'ilta says, all the matzah that a person eats on Seder night has to be shmura. So that's very interesting, says the Netziv. After all, if you fulfill the mitzvah, the essential mitzvah, with your kazayis, so then obviously everything after that you eat is going to be matzah, not chametz, but the mitzvah is finished. And if the mitzvah is finished and you only need shmura matzah for your mitzvah, why would the she'ilta say that you need shmura matzah for all the matzah that you eat on Seder night? Rather, says the Netziv, it seems that the she'ilta is also indicating that all the matzah that you eat on Seder night is part of the mitzvah of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. And because that mitzvah requires shmura matzah, so too all the matzah that one eats on Seder night needs to be shmura matzah. And what's fascinating about this idea is that we will in any case eat more matzah beyond the kezias, because we're going to have korech, and then at the end you're going to have the afikoman. Now as chiyuvim, where's the obligation of korech from? It's from the Rabbanon to do a zecher lemikdash kehillah. Where is the obligation of afikoman come from? It's from the Rabbanon, as a zecher for the Korban Pesach. So the obligations to have those extra amounts of matzah are the Rabbanon. But when you have those amounts, you fulfill a chiyuv the Rabbanon, but a kiyum min haTorah. Because it is no less than matzah that you yourself decided to eat on Seder night. And the more matzah you eat on Seder night, the more you fulfill the mitzvah of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. So they have a dual identity, one could say, those extra installments of matzah, the korech and the afikoman. I think we normally have our hands full just thinking about their relevant halachas in particulars, but just to bear in mind also, one is fulfilling a mitzvah, that is to say, a double mitzvah, a rabbinic obligation, but a Torah level fulfillment of Be'er Tochlu Matzos, and the same is true for any matzah that a person would eat during the course of the meal. So that's a very wonderful thought to accompany us on the evening of Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. Now, as a mitzvah, so eating matzah gets a bracha, and birchas ha-mitzvah, asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. That is in addition to the hamotzi, of course. But the Avudraham asks it his own question. Namely, here we are saying that you make two brachas on the matzah. Why don't you make three? What other bracha would we make? Whenever we do a mitzvah that only comes around once in a while or once a year, you also make the bracha of Shechianu. Isn't that what we do before we light Hanukkah lights for the mitzvah of Hanukkah lights on the first night? Isn't that what we do before we take lulav and esrog on the first day of Sukkot? You make a bracha of Shechianu. So too, the mitzvah of matzah comes once a year. Why is it that we don't make a bracha of Shechianu? Interesting shaila. We always note there's so much that's been added to the Haggadah. That is to say, additional things that we say on Seder night. It's very easy not to notice the things that actually we don't say that we otherwise would think that we do. And the bracha of Shechianu on matzah is one of them. So the Avudraham gives two answers to this question. Firstly, says Avudraham, don't forget, you made Shechianu when you made Kiddush. Kaddish, right? Kaddish has the bracha of Hagefen and Kiddush, and also Shechianu. That Shechianu, which is in such close proximity and is the beginning, the launch of the Seder, will cover you for all of the mitzvahs that you will do in the Seder. But that's very interesting to think about that. That when you make the Shechianu at the beginning of the Seder, it's for all of the mitzvahs that will come. But another very interesting answer of the Abu Dharam to this question, and again, the question is, where did the bracha of Shechianu go for matzah? He answers that we've actually said this literally a few moments ago. That is to say, at that point in the Seder. Why? Because Magid, which precedes matzah, of course, Magid ends the bracha of Asher Go'alanu. Asher Go'alanu v'go'alas avoseinu. And then what does the bracha say? V'higiyanu halayla hazeh le'echol matzah sumerorim. So you have the nusach of v'higiyanu relating to matzah and maror, and it is part of the bracha that you say just before you eat matzah and maror. it's the concluding bracha for Magid, but dare I use the expression, baked into the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu is the Shechianu, Vihigiyanu Halayla Zelechol Matzah Umara. And that, therefore, is your Shechianu. If you want to know, says the Vedram, where did your Shechianu go? You said it not 90 seconds ago at the end of Magid. So these are two very interesting answers to that question. But this now leads us to the next question. Namely, how many matzahs do we need? We know that every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have two loaves. We call them Lechem Mishnah, two challahs. What about Seder night? Well, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Tes that when it comes to Seder night, you need a prusa. A prusa is a broken piece of bread, which of course we do with yachatz. And it's for that reason my computer did something funny. Okay, everyone can hear me again? Okay, I'm not sure what happened there. So, the Gemara says, once again, that we need to have a broken piece of matzah as part of the bread there. And that, in fact, is derived from the words lechem oni. Lechem oni, poor man's bread, the Gemara explains, a poor man, if he has a whole piece of bread, he will never use the whole thing at once because he doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. Therefore, or to that end, he'll break it and put some of it away and have some of it then. So, and therefore, we have the broken piece of matzah for lechem oni. But the question is that broken matzah in addition to lechem mishnah? Or is that your lechem mishnah for Seder night? As if to say, are these two separate things? You need two whole matzahs because you always need two matzahs, two whole breads for Lechem Mishnah. If you need a broken piece of matzah, that will be in addition. And this is the opinion of the Rosh. And it turns out, therefore, that one will begin the Seder, as we know, with three matzahs. Two for Lechem Mishnah, which will remain intact, and one that will be broken, which will be the Lechem Oni. However, other Rishonim dispute this. Both the Rif and the Rambam are of the opinion that when we say that on Seder night you should have a broken piece of matzah, that's one of the two matzahs should be broken. There aren't three that then become two and a half. There are two which become one and a half. And the point is that on Seder night, that's your Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Oni, the bread of affliction, the poor man's bread, it colors the Lechem Mishnah situation on Seder night, so that you begin with two and you end up with one and a half. Interestingly, the Beis Yosef notes that the widespread custom is like the Rosh, and this then becomes his ruling in the Shulchan Aruch. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you will see he says you take your three matzahs and you break one of them. What's most interesting is that the Rif and the Rambam, which are two of the primary pillars of the Shulchan Aruch, are not even mentioned in this ruling. Absolutely phased out from the halacha. The minhag is like the Rosh, and the only opinion that you will see mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch is what we do, which is to start with three, break one of them, and end up with two and a half. Having said that, there is one authority who actually rules like the Rambam and the Rif, and that is the Vilna Gaon. And therefore, you will find there are people who actually only have two matzahs at the beginning, which then become one and a half. They are those who follow the Vilna Gaon. There's a widespread old Minag in Yerushalayim. Of course, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon really began, or more correctly, re-began or restarted the Ashkenazi Yishuv in Yerushalayim, and therefore many of the Yerushalmi Minhagim for Ashkenazim are actually based on the Vilna Gaon. We've mentioned this many times. The opinions of the Vilna Gaon and the customs of the Vilna Gaon are much more prevalent and are much more felt in Yerushalayim than they ever were in Vilna, because in Vilna there were established minhagim, and no one was expected to change them, even though one of their greatest resident was the Vilna Gaon. Nonetheless, they had their established minhagim. But because there was almost no Ashkenazi yishuv when the Talmidim of the Gaon came, there were no established Ashkenazi minhagim, and therefore it was much easier for the minhag of the Vilna Gaon to take hold. And so, what emerges is that as we come to eat matzah on Seder night, there are actually two things going on. First is the Lechem Mishnah, your general Lechem Mishnah, which would be true even if it was another Shabbos or Yom Tov. And in addition to that, the special mitzvah of matzah. And indeed, I never realized this till a few years ago, but that's really, I believe this is the understanding, is the correct intent of that poem that we say, which again is Miyuchas to Rashi, or one of Rashi's Talmidim, Kadesh, Urchas, Karpas, Yachetz, Magid, Rachza. And then when it comes to matzah, there are two words, Motzi Matzah. And I always thought it's Motzi Matzah because you can't just say matzah, you can't just hum and say matzah, or be silent and say matzah. You need to fill out the words so that there's enough to go around. And therefore, it's really matzah, but we call it motzi matzah. But it apparently it's not so. Motzi matzah are two different things. Motzi is hamotzi. And that refers to the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. Matzah, then, is alachilas matzah, which is specifically the mitzvah of eating matzah on Seder night. And indeed, this is then the widespread minhag, that when one comes to say these two brachas, you hold all three matzahs when you make the bracha of hamotzi, but then you drop, I mean, don't drop it too abruptly, but one relinquishes the bottom matzah for the second bracha of alachilas matzah. Why? Because when you make the first bracha of hamotzi, you need the bottom matzah. It's the second of your two whole matzahs, top and bottom. And that's Lechem Mishnah. So hamotzi is really the motzi part of motzi matzah. That's your Lechem Mishnah, and therefore you need two whole matzahs. When you come to the bracha of alachilas matzah, you don't need Lechem Mishnah for that anymore. And that's why the lower matzah can be put down, and then you just have your top two. And what's very interesting and of practical relevance is that it turns out not only are there are two dynamics going on, Lechem Mishnah on the one hand and the mitzvah of matzah on the other. It's more than that. The two brachas that we make, hamotzi and alachilas matzah, are also, each one is directed primarily towards a different one of the matzahs. That, I'm not sure, is so well known. As if to say, obviously, ultimately, with the bracha of hamotzi covers all the matzah that you will eat. And, as we mentioned before, it's all part of the mitzvah of achilas matzah, ultimately. But significantly, the bracha, when you first make it, the bracha of hamotzi is directed towards the top matzah, because that is your Lechem Mishnah matzah. And then the bracha of alachilas matzah is directed towards the broken matzah. And the reason why it's important to know that, it's not just a question of where to direct one's thoughts, is that that means that one needs to partake of both matzahs. Because the bracha of hamotzi, which is for your Lechem Mishnah, so it's like any Yom Tov that needs Lechem Mishnah, that will come from the top matzah. Alachilas matzah, which is from the broken piece, so that will be from that piece. And what that means, therefore, is that since one makes the two brachas on the two matzahs respectively, then one then needs to partake of both matzahs. according to the Shulchan Aruch himself, lechatchila, to have a kazayas, both from the hamotzi matzah and from the broken piece of matzah. If that's difficult, then b'dieved certainly just a kazayas from the middle matzah, but one should have some from the top matzah, because that's where your lechem mishnah is. In the same way that on any Shabbos and Yom Tov, everyone takes a little bit from the two chalas, the lechem mishnah, so too on Seder night. And what that means is that even those who don't have the three matzahs in front of them, guests and other participants, which means that they will just have a regular piece of broken matzah, shall we say, for their kazayas. Nonetheless, they should also receive at least a small piece from the top matzah of the balabayit, because that's lechem mishnah, which means practically he makes the bracha of hamotzi, then the bracha of alachilas matzah, and the first thing he should do before eating is to break off small pieces from the top hamotzi matzah, give it to all the participants who didn't have their own lechem mishnah, and then he can get going on his eating of the matzah, which of course is done beheseva. So these are some highlights, I would say, halachic highlights, as we like to point out, of this very, very central mitzvah of achilas matzah, the mitzvah d'oraisa that we have on Seder night. So from there, we move on to more thematic material. And we discussed last week, we didn't get further than Halach Ma'anya last week, which of course we need to move on. And just to stop in, firstly, with Manishtana, for a couple of reasons. I mean, Manishtana are the questions that are asked, and it's worthwhile taking a step back and asking a question of our own. Namely, why is it that the story begins with these questions? It seems that we're quite insistent that someone should ask, and halachically we are insistent, although traditionally it's the youngest member of the family that asks, it could be a child or a grandchild or whatever, but whoever's there needs to ask. The Gemara says if a person's having the Seder with his wife asks him. If he's having the Seder by himself, he asks himself, which means that it's key, the issue of asking questions, and the question is why. Now, it is true that we see a number of questions that relate to Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Chumash. I mean, they will become the four sons. That is true. But I think it's correct to say none of those questions in the Chumash, in context, are asked on Seder night. Which means the Chacham's question, which is Maha Eidus and Achukim, and what are all these mitzvahs, etc., that's in Parshas Vayis Chanan, and the setting is not Seder night. He's just asking generally. He wants to know. When the Tam asks Ma Zos, it's also not about Seder night. It's about Pidyon, redeeming the firstborn sheep. That doesn't take place on Seder night. And when the Chacham says Moha Avoda Hazos Lachem, if he's talking about the Korban Pesach, the time of Avoda is the afternoon of Erev Pesach, not Seder night. So none of these questions, as much as they've been enlisted in the corpus of the Haggadah to reflect questions that could be asked on Seder night, but presumably they are not the source of the idea that one needs to ask. And a very interesting explanation of this matter is given by the Chidah in his commentary to the Haggadah, Simchas HaRega. And the Chidah says, we mentioned before that matzah is called lechem oni. And lechem oni, poor man's bread, it's actually explained in a couple of ways in the Gemara. The first way we've mentioned already, oni, that is to say like oni, poor. And the poor man, he breaks his bread, he puts half away, just an incomplete a loaf of bread, that's lechem oni. But there is another famous drasha that relates to the matzah being called lechem oni, and it's got nothing to do with poverty, or oni, with an ayin. It's got to do with onim, or aniya, which is to answer. Lechem she'onim alav dvarim harbed. This is the bread over which you answer many questions. You respond with many things. So we see how different these two drushas are, and they're both considered full-fledged d'oraisa drushas. The first is that it relates to the makeup of the matzah itself. It's poor man's bread, it's a half a piece of bread. But the second is that it's bread that you respond. Lechem she'onim. And between these two, they make up the drushas. Says the Chidah, since the Torah describes the matzah as per this drasha, the Torah describes the matzah as matzah over which you respond, that is how we know that whatever you say about the matzah, it needs to be in response, which means someone needs to have asked about it. That is the source of the mitzvah to have questions at Seder night. The very fact that your discourse over the matzah and your discourse over everything else on the evening is called onim alav. It's a response. That means something needs to generate that response, namely questions about the evening, which are really characterized and collected in the Manishtana. So for the Chidah, Lechem Oni is where it all comes from. If there are answers, there must have been questions. Just while we're on the subject of Lechem Oni, cannot resist. And it relates, it gives insight into another area of the Haggadah. The way that we tell the story, when we get really down to the story, is the drushas of Arami Oved Avi. Those psukim, which we start with Lavan, say Olamad, and remember Lavan, we go to Parshas Kisavo, right, to Chumash Devarim, which is where we bring Bikurim, and we go through each of the psukim, and then we divide them into pieces, into words and phrases. We keep on saying Kamoshin Emar. We keep on going back. It takes the form of expounding that section. I believe that the words that appear most in the Haggadah are the words Kamoshin Emar, because we can't move one or two words without saying Kamoshin Emar and going back and forth. And many people want to know, why is it that we tell the story in this way? That we launch the story, and the base of the story is from those psukim. We don't just start Chumash Shemos and read the relevant sections moving forward. Rather, we keep on taking our cue from Arami Avid Avi. Where does that idea come from? Says the Or Sameach, it comes from Lechem Oni. Lechem Oni means bread that requires a response. That means that whatever you say about Yetzias Mitzrayim is considered or will be defined and characterized as an aniya, as a response. So, is there anywhere in the entire Torah where a discussion of the events that surrounded the exile in Mitzrayim and in the Yetzias Mitzrayim are called a response? There is. It's the Parsha of Bikurim. It begins with the words, Ve'onisa v'amarta, you shall respond and say, Arami Oved Avi. That entire section is introduced with the words, Ve'onisa, it's a response. This then is the Torah's classic Aniya. It's a classic response. And therefore, because the Torah says that on Seder night, matzah is called Lechem Onu, you need to respond, there is no greater response that relates to Yetzias Mitzrayim than the response that the Torah itself gave with the words Ve'onisa Ve'omarta. So that is the insight of the Or Sameach, really amazing way of understanding that section of the Haggadah, which is really the backbone of Maggid. So we start with questions, Manishtana. And what is the first of the questions? Chametz u'matzah. On all other days, we eat chametz u'matzah. Halayla hazeh, kulo matzah. And there's much to discuss. What do we mean when we say on all other days we eat chametz u'matzah? When exactly is that referring to? But I came across this year a question. I could not believe how disarmingly simple it was, and very excited to share it. The first question of the Manishtana is, we normally have chametz and matzah, but tonight it's only matzah. Which is a good shaila. The child wants to know. He doesn't really know anything, seemingly. There's just one problem. Manishtana is the second section of Magid. What's the first section of Magid? Halach Ma'anya. I mean, that far we got last week. And what's Halach Ma'anya? It's a presentation about the matzah. It's an explanation concerning matzah. You pick up the piece of matzah and you say, this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. So seemingly, this should change everything. Because now go back to the child who's saying, it's a very unusual night. I don't really understand any of these deviations from the norm. For example, on all other nights we'd chametz and matzah, but tonight only matzah. Can someone please explain this to me? Someone just did. Not 1 minute ago. You had your explanation for matzah. You could ask for another explanation, but it sounds like you didn't hear that at all. So if the child's going to be asking questions and he forgets things that were said just 1 or 2 moments ago, that's going to be a very long evening. And this is the question of Rav Zalman Sorotkin. It's such a simple shaila. We explain what matzah is all about, and then the child gets up to ask, and the first of his 4 questions is, what's matzah all about? Where was he during Halach Ma'anya? That's Rav Zalman Sorotkin's question. And he gives two answers to this question. Firstly, and it's very apropos of our earlier discussion, says Rav Sorotkin, we call the matzah lach ma'anya, poor man's bread. And why is it poor man's bread? First, we break it in half because of the two drushas, the one that relates to the makeup of the matzah itself, is that it's broken in half. A poor man doesn't eat all of his food. If he has a loaf, he breaks off half and has what he and then has half of it. So it could be, therefore, that the child has been listening to Halach Ma'anya, and he's heard the explanation. But Lach Ma'anya only explains why we're using a broken piece of matzah. It doesn't explain why we're using matzah and not bread. It just explains why it's not whole. You took the whole thing and you broke it in half. Why do you do that? Because it's poor man's bread. Okay, says the child, that I understand, but why is the bread matzah? That's a separate question altogether. That's his first explanation. And again, on the assumption that Lach Ma'anya is about the fact that it's half, but not actually that it's chametz, matzah as opposed to chametz. Alternatively, says Rav Zalman Sorotkin, it could be that the child has heard the explanation that it's matzah. Lach Ma'anya comes to explain why we're using matzah this evening, because that's also poor man's bread. Maybe. But isn't it also true, reasons the child, that if matzah is the bread of affliction, but we're not just commemorating the fact that we were afflicted or the fact that we were in Mitzrayim. I mean, that much he can work out. We're not in Mitzrayim anymore. So if the basic understanding that Seder night is about celebrating not only the bad times, but also the good, the child will yet ask, why is there only matzah here? I've heard matzah is the bread of affliction, but we're not only commemorating affliction, we're also commemorating redemption. So there should be chametz and matzah. Matzah for the affliction, and then chametz for the redemption. And Halach Ma'anya doesn't answer that question. And the only answer will come at the end of Magid, when we explain to this child that matzah, unusually, is a commemoration not only of the affliction, of the difficult times, but also of the redemption, for the reasons that Rabbi Gamliel will say, we came out so quickly, the dough didn't have time to rise, and so on and so forth. But we do understand his question. There should be chametz and matzah. Matzah for the bad times, chametz for the good times. Until we enlighten him that actually on Seder night, matzah was both times, because we came out b'chipozon, le'yochlu, le'smameya, etc. So this is a wonderful observation with regards to the proximity of asking about chametz and matzah just after Halach Ma'anya. What question yet remains? And he gives his 2 explanations. So from there, we move to from Manishtana. So we respond with Avodim Hayinu. And again, we won't be discussing it at length this evening, but even just to raise a simple point of understanding terms. For we say that Avodim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out B'Yad Chazaka Uvizroa Netuya, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Once again, and it's always very interesting if you compare, I mean, this is based on a pasuk. This is a pasuk in Vayeshanan, but there are actually a couple of differences. In Vayeshanan, the pasuk in the Chumash only mentions Yad Chazaka. It doesn't mention Zroa Netuya, not in this context. Zroa Netuya is mentioned in other contexts, but we put them together. And the question is, what is the meaning of Yad Chazaka? They're terms that were so they're part of the furniture with regards to Seder night. Yad Chazaka, Zroa Netuya, strong arm, strong hand, outstretched arm. But what do they mean? And how are they different from each other? And that's an important question. And many Mefarshim discuss this question. But I saw a very wonderful Perush of this matter, quoted. It's in a sefer called Chodesh HaAviv, and it was written by Rabbi Avraham Baruch Yinon Shalom Chori. I wrote that down. He was one of the Chachmei Tunisia. He passed away actually not that long ago, just a few years ago. And he says as follows, a very, very beautiful idea. To begin with Yad Chazaka, the strong hand. What does it mean for Hashem to take us out with a strong hand? The whole concept of strong, using strength, obviously needs to be taken under advisement. For Hashem, everything is nothing requires effort in that way. Is it only from our point of view? But many Mefarshim explain that the idea of Hashem using strength is because he has set up the world whereby people are meant to help him, so to speak, run the world. But what does it mean to help him? Does he need help? Not really. But the way that he set up the world is that his input will be the product of the good deeds of people. Just like we say in the second paragraph of the Shema, if you keep the mitzvahs, the rain will come. And if you don't, they won't. So when you think about it, what that means is by not keeping mitzvahs, it makes it harder, so to speak, for Hashem to bring the rain. It's easier not to because there was no assistance in the system that Hashem has set up. If Hashem would nonetheless bring rain, even though people were not deserving, that would be called Yad Chazaka, because he's doing all the work, so to speak. Officially, there should be input on the part of the Jewish people, but if there isn't, so then it makes it harder, again, quote unquote, for Hashem to do it. And if he does it anyway, that's called Yad Chazaka. And that is a description of the matzav with regards to Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's many ways that it's described, but the Jewish people, that is to say us, we're not on such a high level, rather quite a low level, which means there wasn't much assistance for Hashem in terms of producing the wonders and miracles. In the end, he did it alone. That's why we say, Le'ose niflo'os gedolos levado, says Ibn Yisoschar. Hashem does those wonders, he will do them by himself, meaning by himself, even without any input from the Jewish people. The fuel for miracles is mitzvahs. Which means that if the Jewish people are on level with their mitzvahs, Hashem is not acting alone. But if they are below par with their mitzvahs, he acts alone. Le'os neflos gedolos levado. Just Hashem. And that is called Yad Chazaka. That's a show of strength. What was our state when we left Egypt? Were we on level to be deserving of all those miracles? No. We had a couple of mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs were to make us what we could call geula friendly. That is to say, give us the somehow format us and enable us to be the recipients of Geula. But they were not merits that could fund, so to speak, the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That Hashem did with a show of strength by himself. That's called Yad Chazaka. And now the question asks Rav Chori is, So then what's your relationship with Hashem? If the inception of the relationship is that you did almost nothing to assist yourself, and your input was negligible, barely there in terms of enabling your redemption, so what then is the nature of your connection with Hashem? What then is the strength of your connection with Hashem? And the answer, says Rav Hari, is Zeroa Netuya. What is Zeroa Netuya? An outstretched arm. An outstretched arm with what in mind? Says Rav Hari, with a welcoming embrace in mind. Zeroa Netuya, meaning Hashem on the one hand, he did all the work, he did all the quote-unquote heavy lifting of the geula. We didn't really have much to show for ourselves or to say for ourselves. But if we're ready to connect with Hashem, he's there waiting with Zeroa Netuya, with outstretched arms. And that, says Rav Hari, is true every Seder night as we renew the connection. We'd like to be in better shape than we are, presumably, or ideally, we're as we should be. Possibly, we're somewhere below that. And as we seek to reconnect, and once again, it's Hashem who's making the connection, and we may be perhaps perturbed by feelings of, so if Hashem is doing all the work and I haven't exactly been giving a great accounting of myself, so in what way is Hashem waiting for me? The answer, says Rav Hari, is just as he was when we left Mitzrayim, with open arms. That's called Zeroa Netuya. And a Seder night is really just about accepting that embrace and forging that connection anew. Very beautiful thought from the Sefer Chodesh Aviv. The final section that I want to deal with this evening is a section that I think has been really in people's minds over these last few days, if not weeks. And that's the section of Vehi She'onda. Because we are currently living through another chapter of Vehi She'onda. And what do we say? We say, Vehi She'onda l'Avoseinu v'lanu. It is that, and we'll get back to what that is in just a moment, and we know the words very well. Shelo echad bilvad, it stood by us, our fathers and us. It's not just one person. She'omad alei l'chaloseinu, that's trying to destroy us. It's an ongoing thing. V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyada. So, on a basic level, to understand, there's many different perushim, but on the basic explanation. Vehi she'amda, and that is what has stood by us. What is that? Vehi, that. What is that? Well, if we go back to the previously mentioned paragraph, it's the one that begins Baruch Shomer Havtachaso LiYisrael. We thank Hashem for keeping His promise to Yisrael, even though it required something of a recalibration and a recalculation. Nevertheless. Hashem did not stand on detail, but rather made it work. And we quote the pasuk, which is really the Bris Min HaBesorim, where all of this is foretold to Avram, the exile in Egypt, Ger Yezarecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, and then they'll be redeemed. V'Gamas Hagoyah She'Avodu Dan Anochi V'Acharichin Yetzu B'Chush Gadol. That's the promise, the prediction of the exile, and the promise of redemption. That Havtocha is what we're referring to when we say Vehi She'amda L'Avoseinu V'lanu, and it is stood by our forefathers and also by us. But the question is, how? What's it got to do with us? In other words, this is a promise about Mitzrayim that's been done, but what's it got to do with the ongoing issue or any ongoing difficulties that we have? But as the Meforshim point out, embedded and included within the prediction of the Bris Ben HaBesorim about the exile in Egypt and the redemption therefrom are all of the exiles, are all of the four exiles. There's many midrashim which refer to it in this way. The conditions of darkness and fear that befell Avram, Eima Chashecha Gedola Nofeles Alav, as is described there in Parshas Lech Lecha, are darshaned each one as one of the four Golios. And as we mentioned last week, the reason for this is, or one of the reasons for this is, that the exile in Egypt is considered to be like the root exile experience, of which other exiles are branches. which means that when Avram is told that his descendants will go into exile in Egypt, part of that is also the subsequent exiles. They're all wired together. But what that means is, when he is promised that his descendants will be redeemed from Egypt, contained within that promise is that of redemption from all subsequent exiles, which are branches of Mitzrayim. And that's why we say, Vihi, that promise, which includes ultimately all of the exiles of the Jewish people, She'omda l'avoseinu v'lanu. For we say, She'lo echad b'vad, there isn't just one person. It's an ongoing thing. Although I will mention before we get back to what the how the Shisha Amda concludes, we say Shelo Echad Bilvad Omad Alein L'Chaloseinu, and the simple meaning is it wasn't just one person who once tried to destroy us. That's the simple meaning. But there is a most profound rendition of these words, which is cited in the name of the Sfas Emes. We know that there is a concept which is called Jewish unity. And that was something that needed to pertain in Egypt in order for us to be redeemed. Indeed, it was the sale of Yosef, which was friction and fracture between the brothers, that got us down to Egypt in the first place. That needed to heal, and the Jewish people needed to get together with themselves again in order to be worthy for redemption. And that remains true for subsequent times as well. If the Jewish people are fragmented, they are at risk. If they are united, their connection with Hashem places them in above, out of harm's way. Otherwise, that itself could destroy them. Fragmentation itself can destroy the Jewish people. It says this Sfas Emes, if you hear how he's intoning the words, Shelo Echad Bilvad, the very fact that we are Lo Echad, that we are not one, that alone, Bilvad, Amad Alein L'Chaloseinu, we can rise up to destroy. Lo Echad Bilvad, the very fact, alone, the idea that we are Lo Echad, the Jewish people should be Echad, but if they're not Echad, in that Bilvad, in that alone, Amad Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. And that's further, so much of the events have brought the Jewish people together recently, in recent weeks and months. Still somehow, with determination, one can find ways to fragment again. Even within this situation, nothing is guaranteed. There are certain things that are guiding us together. If a person fights it because he insists on nonetheless creating or factionalizing, it can be done. But it's a great risk, because that alone, the state called Lo Echad, that state Bilvad, Amad Alein L'Chaloseinu. But to bring us back to our current, to our 2024, Pesach, and I'm mindful of a comment of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Balak. And there, Bilam says, Kel Motzi'am Mitzrayim, Hashem takes them out of Mitzrayim. And the Orach Chaim notes that is written in the present tense. Motzi'am, not Hotzi'am, not that Hashem took them out, Motzi'am, Hashem takes them out. And what does that mean? It means, says the Orach Chaim, at the end of the day, Mitzrayim is a place. But it's not the only place where forces of evil exist, and it's not the only place where the enemies of the Jewish people exist. They were localized predominantly there at that time. But the full concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim ultimately is the prevailing of good over evil everywhere. That is Yetzias Mitzrayim in the full place. Because what difference does it make ultimately if Mitzrayim, you've left Mitzrayim, but the very same issues exist somewhere else and the matter has not been resolved. And therefore, Yetzias Mitzrayim, one could say, is the fundamental redemption. But it's not the final redemption. And every further installment and every further increment of getting us closer to the full and final redemption is the full fulfillment of Yetzias Mitzrayim in terms of what it's meant to represent. And this is what we do, says the Or HaChaim, every time we sit down on Seder night and we again retell about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, how it was, Avadim Hayinu and Vayotzienu. It's not just history, or if it is history, it's history in the present, because we're tapping into that foundational Geula, and we're using it to move ourselves along another step in the process of Geula. Seder night is not just commemorative, but rather it actually strengthens our own state. It's not just remembering the state that our ancestors were in all those years ago, but rather it is energizing and galvanizing our own move towards Geula. And I think that's very important, because it's easy to ask. I mean, this is not the first time the Jewish people have been in Tzaras since leaving Mitzrayim. Baruch Hashem, we've forgotten the others, but the question is raised. I mean, here we are in a difficult matzav, and celebrating leaving Mitzrayim. Is that how does that fit in? Is that appropriate given the matzav now? Some people are asking, and it's an important question, especially if it's being asked. And what's the answer? The answer is that now more than ever, on the contrary, the more difficult the matzav is, and the more you need to find a way out of it, the more you need to tap into the root geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim as a way to assist us, to illuminate us, to inspire us, to elevate us. Because everything that's happening ultimately, even to us now, is a branch of Geulas Mitzrayim. The more we're able to tap into the to the redemptive energy of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the more we can use that redemption for our own matzav, not only for the immediate matzav, but for the ultimate redemption of Bnei Yisrael. So if the question is, what about this year? The answer is this year more than ever. And therefore we look backwards, but then we also look forwards. We look backwards to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but also forwards as Hashem says through the Navi, in the way that he took us out of Mitzrayim, ki meitzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim, our enu neflos, that Hashem will show wonders to the generation and the final geula, just as he did with Mitzrayim. And this, I think, is a very, very meaningful way to relate to the Seder this year. It is history in real time. And I think if we take this in mind, we can certainly connect ever more meaningfully with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with its ramifications for the past, for the present, and also the future. And so, may the next siren that we hear be the one that announces the final geula, and we should have besuras tovos, yeshuas v'nechomas leklal v'leprat during these times, and the energy and the light of Pesach should really illuminate our path towards the full redemption, which should come b'mehira b'yaminu. Amen.